News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Indeed, it is on a Friday. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:07.
Not just any Friday, though, Dan. This is a big Friday.
It's a big Friday leading into an amazing weekend. We'll get into all the events going on and find out on the text line, what are your plans this weekend? 251-343-0106. They're all down at the beach, too. You got the Blue Angels. You've got the Blue Marlin down at the Wharf. You've got, obviously, where Jeremy was just at.
93rd, yeah. Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You and I were joking earlier this morning. Those folks in Mississippi got to be looking over the rest of the Gulf Coast east of them and going, oh, man, we never get to do anything fun. They're doing all that. They just have a whodunit of sorts over there. But yeah, we got it going on from Dauphin Island all the way through the Panhandle. And keep next weekend open on your schedule as well. In the studio with us this morning, we have a good friend now of the Mobile Morning Show team here, Jeremy Clark with Vets to Cowboys. But that's just one of many, many cowboy hats he wears. And he's in with us this morning. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, everybody.
Jeremy, before we get going on your big Cowboy Day celebration and going on your way down to Grand Bay, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I mean, what a retired U.S. Army Ranger, co-founder of Vets to Cowboys, but your service right up until just a few years ago, right, as a reservist, actually. So God love you for that, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we of course appreciate you for that, but you haven't stopped since you came back home. You've been putting the work in and doing a lot for as many people as you can. We could get into how busy you are, but I know you don't like to talk about that so much. You got the C4 Farm Cattle Company in Grand Bay, and that's been growing ever since you and your wife got that rolling. But let's talk about Vets to Cowboys. How did the idea come about? What have you seen since you began that charitable effort?
When I got home from Syria in 2021, we wanted to get started in livestock. We were already dealing with different food sources. Along the way, friends, people I served with, other vets, as we grew our family business, C4 Cattle Company, you know, people were like, we want to learn how to do this. I'm like, this is a thing, so let's get started. So we didn't have a name, we didn't have a website, we didn't have a plan. I just started taking other people that I served and was like, hey, I'm a new beginning first gen cattleman, I'm learning, let's learn something together. And the beginning of this year, my wife and I sat down and we're like, this is turning into something big. We need to put a name to it. We need to get the word out. We didn't think about it being an election year. So when we unveiled Vets to Cowboys, it was an election year. All this commotion's going on. We started meeting with everybody, and it took off like a rocket ship.
Because election year, everyone's willing to talk to you, right?
Exactly.
they're like, it sounds like a great idea. Yeah, that's around the time we met, I believe, in the springtime.
Jared put us two together in a group chat.
Yeah.
While he was running for Senate and was like, you guys need to meet.
Jared Hudson, like, right. I met Jared, and then he said, get with Jeremy, and I did, and I'm glad I did. And one thing about this, you know, vets and ags, it's meeting all kinds of needs. You got the vets coming back trying to kind of reintegrate themselves, which is not easy, and you know that. And at the same time, ag is not dying, but we're losing farms and farmlands, and people that just want to do the job. And you're saying vets are the kind of people that can do the job and will do the job well if they're taught how.
That's right. Military values greatly relate over to farmers and ranchers. You've seen guys, men and women, that are, you know, my age, mid to late 30s. They've been in the GWAT for the last 20 years. They're coming back. They're retiring. They're looking for something to do. Ag, in my eyes, is another way of selfless service. So why not put people that are at the prime age to start something else that have skills that can relate. They just don't know
what it is, what it is
to put a tag in a cow or how to castrate a bull, those things. So we're going to see a big change of a lot more new and beginning farmers getting started because, you know, Alabama on the last survey lost 8% of its farms. That was over 3,500 farms went away. Those are family-owned businesses.
Wow.
You got a new era of people that want to get into ag. Somebody's just got to show them the right direction.
Well, what's the response been? How quickly have you seen results?
We've already helped before we even unveiled the name. So in the last less than 12 months, we've helped six or seven new farms get started.
That's great. All around here?
One's actually in Florida, and the rest have been in Mobile and Baldwin County.
Yeah.
We're working with people in Mississippi. I'm trying to talk some guys in Louisiana and jumping on board, but they're selling calves, they're selling meat. A couple of them are into sheep. We're putting new farms into business.
That's amazing.
It is. We're talking with Jeremy Clark, Vets to Cowboys, and also, and self-admittedly, you know, I'm not a military man. I have family members who are in the military. But being here at FM Talk 106.5 for as long as I have, I've met many veterans and have become close with many of them. So I'll just say that to put this out there. But this lifestyle, working cows, working, you know, whatever land you may have, it seems to me to be well suited for for a lot of the men and even women coming back from fighting. Why is that, you think? It may be a little bit more of a peaceful job. I'm picturing some people that are coming back, and maybe they just get dumped right back into that cubicle office environment or some high pressure. Not that farming isn't high pressure, but something like sales, you know, telemarketing or something like that. That just seems like such a massive transition out of being in the military. Something like this, I could see a little bit more peace of mind, even though it's a hell of a hard job.
Ag is difficult. Like, nobody's taking anything away from it. Getting into this blind as a new person, it's tough. Like, we had gotten our first piece of property, gotten our cows, and we just had a record-breaking snow event recently in Alabama. I've never seen 9 inches of snow in my life.
And you're not gonna see it again. So.
Yeah, and now I've got cows and sheep and a horse, and I'm like,
what now?
All right, we got to do this for real.
It's
tough, and it's a different tough and hard. It's not Afghanistan in the height of the GWAT tough, but it's tough. But a lot of the stuff we can do easily translates and relates over. You know, tractor breaks down in the field, you got to hurry up and get the hay in before the rain comes.
Right.
You know,
like you were saying,
adaptability.
Adaptability is a huge thing.
Because Jeremy was explaining to me early on, like, you know, when you've been through some things like many soldiers have, you reassess what tough is. Like, okay, you think this is a problem. Well, I've already been through some problems, and I think I'm not going to lose my mind over a tractor that stalled out or something like that, because you've already seen some of the the things that no one wants to even be a part of.
Yeah, it gives you a different perspective on what people deem as hard.
Yep.
But you've got the experience to be able to overcome and adapt to it. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff you learn and are taught in the military is going to relate over, but we need to teach them the basics of the stuff that granddad taught the son on, you know, the grandson on the farm, you know, where to get your farm number, you know, who NRCS and Extension are, how the Cattlemen Association can help you. Those things, when we first started in the first 12 months, we didn't know that stuff existed because my wife and I weren't from an ag background.
Yeah. So now you learned it all, and you're happy to freely pass it along.
That we're trying to build a blueprint or a how-to guide so new and beginning farmers don't struggle the way we did in the first 12 months.
That's amazing.
So I'm teaching them stuff in the field, taking them to do things at other places. My wife's teaching them the other side of it. This is where you get your farm number. This is how you get your tax ID number, because it doesn't have to just be a hobby or for yourself. This can be a profitable business. You know, we're working workforce development side. We're teaching them how to drive a tractor, how to drive a skid steer, how to work cattle. This is something they can do as a break or for pleasure or as a hobby, or it's something they can turn into their next job because they just retired out of the service.
Talking with Jeremy Clark, Vets to Cowboys. Now let's talk about how National Cowboy Day ties into all of this, and that's coming up a week from tomorrow. So Saturday, July 25th is National Cowboy Day. How are you using that to help with Vets to Cowboys? What's the plan here?
So we've been building onto our new facility. July 25th, it's not really a holiday most people know about or celebrate. It's one of those ones you see pop up on Facebook and Google, but it's Vets to Cowboys. July 25th is National Cowboy Day. So we're getting together. We're going to have some demonstrations, some presentations. We're kind of using it as a celebration, an open house, a meet and greet, almost kind of like a reverse trade show. You know, we're going to have veterans there that are interested in getting into agriculture, but we're going to have those people that they need to meet.
Yep.
So Extension's going to be there. NRCS is going to be there. All those people they need to have working relationships with to be successful will be there to give them their card, brochure, application, whatever it is. So it's going to be work and fun at the same time.
I was at an event back in April, I believe, and it was really cool because it was kind of an informal event, but it was all veterans there. And when the veterans are, some of them just meeting each other for the first time, you know, that's some special stuff, isn't it?
It is. The cowboy way of life, we've noticed, is a great path to help on the mental health side.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen all the positive results with service animals and equine therapy and, you know, resorts and vacations and being outside and having camaraderie time.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboying's the way to do it. You're taking people that were jumping out of planes, roping out of helicopters, you know, they're deploying once a year, doing all these things. So now we're getting them riding, getting them roping, you know, working a sorting pen. There's a little bit of an adrenaline side to it. It's not the same thing as, you know, jumping out of a C-130, but we're giving them something to do that's still fun.
Yeah.
Plus, we tie in other stuff. We've got guys fishing with my friends over at Vet 5. They're at the rodeo fishing. We've done clay shoots and dove hunts and camping trips and whatever else all these organizations do. We piece it together. But at the end of the day, we're trying to get them to do cowboy stuff, focus on ag.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps our ag industry at the same time, we're doing something productive.
That's a win-win, or maybe a win-win-win. I don't know how many wins you can tack on there, but there's a lot of them there.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's what meeting Jeremy just opened, and I'm so glad that Jared turned me on to you. And it was like when I went down there to talk with him and get an idea of what was going on, it just occurred to me, like, this could be big.
Mm.
And speaking of that, and we don't have to necessarily go down too far down this path, but this could be big. In fact, you've been contacted by, or there's people that are looking at this whole blueprint saying, this is bigger than one county in Alabama.
Yeah, this is, Alabama lost 8% of its farms. The nation lost 7%. We've helped people in Florida. We've helped people in Mississippi. We've been in contacts with Cattlemen Association connections from state level to national. The campaign trail, you know, we've been meeting and greeting with everybody. They're pushing the word out. They're coming to our events. They're inviting us to theirs. We've talked to the U.S. Cattlemen Association. I've been big into sales since I got out of the service. I'm cold calling everybody because this isn't just Grand Bay, this isn't just Mobile County, and there's a lot more people that can help than they realize. Like, we're trying to do stuff with Birch and the rural enforcement team through the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking to, you know, horse trainers through the Quarter Horse Association. You know, we're piecing the puzzle together, and it's growing fast.
Yeah, there's It's no bounds, no limits, Dalton.
Yeah, and before we let Jeremy go, too, I just wanted to ask, or did you want to keep Jeremy over
let's do that for another second?
Let's do that. Yeah, and I'll just tease you by saying I have the best question of all time.
Aww.
Let's head it this way right after this break.
Continue.
With Jeremy Clark, Vets to Cowboys, an amazing guy doing amazing things. We'll talk a little bit more about that event coming up next week and potentially how you can help out as well on Mobile Mornings as we roll on.
There we go with the weekend, for sure. Whit Willie, welcome us into Friday morning. And it's next Saturday that National Cowboy Day, and Jeremy Clark, the founder of Vets to Cowboys, is going to have a big event. We'll get into exactly where that location is so you all know.
Yeah, but great conversation with Jeremy so far this morning, talking about Vets to Cowboys. And you talked about, and this is why I think you're the perfect man for this job. First off, because it was your idea and you've grown it to what it is. But because, like you said, you're cold calling people, you're putting the work in, but you started fresh in this ag business. Like you didn't have this passed down generation. Oh, there's Jeremy. He's going to run the farm just like everyone else did. You got into the business and learned how to do this. And you've had mentors along the way as well. But there's got to be something for someone else that has a similar timeline as you, who's saying, hey, I want to try something new. I want to get into this business. To have someone like you pass your knowledge forward, it's going to be a little different than someone who just grew up in the cattle business their entire lives. But speaking of mentors, what about, we have a lot of listeners, and I'm sure at least a few listeners who are running cattle or running farms themselves. What if they want to help out and mentor? Can they do that? Can they reach out to you and say, hey, I want to come help out also?
Absolutely. That's the goal of getting the word out about who we are and what we're doing.
Doesn't have to be just you.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. You want to grow it to the point where it's not just you.
My wife and I have only been doing this for a couple of years. We still don't know everything. We're still learning. We're relying on those third, fourth, fifth gen people to open their doors and pass on that knowledge. Because, granted, we're lucky these days. We have technology, but just because you YouTube something doesn't mean you're going to be able to go out and do it.
No, right. No, right? I'm a walking example of
that. Yeah, you can Google it all day, but you know, you type in how to castrate a bull, somebody's got to show you.
Yeah, yeah. The event itself, next Saturday, talk about the location and how they can find out more about it.
It's going to be at our place at C4 Cattle. We're asking people that are interested in coming to message us on Facebook.
Okay.
So we can line up how many folks we got coming. 9 to 12, it's July 25th, National Cowboy Day. We picked that as a good day to unveil it and celebrate. Vendors will be there. Different organizations will be there. Handful of veteran organizations will be there. Ag folks will be there. We're going to have our new system on display, working demonstrations, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you guys already got your invites.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there. I'll be banging on the gate at 8:30.
I'm gonna have somebody at the gate with the door open, ready to go. That way, nobody opens the wrong gate.
Well, man.
Once again, he's talking about me.
We're so looking forward to this, and I'm personally just looking forward to seeing not just Vets to Cowboys grow, but your entire operation. And you do so much around the community and in the veterans community around here, which, as everyone that listens to us knows, that's a big part of life down here. So many veterans that decide to call Southwest Alabama home, and it's a great community. So, Jeremy, thank you so much. Vets to Cowboys, that Facebook page, it's really great. You said to DM there. Yep. Is that where you recommend if anyone has any questions for Jeremy Clark, hit you up there?
Yeah, anybody that wants to get involved, whether it's participating, becoming a volunteer, an instructor, they want to say hi, whatever.
Vets to Cowboys Facebook page.
It's all on there. Our phone number, email, website, it's all on there.
Thanks again, Jeremy.
Anytime.
More Mobile Mornings on the way. Turn up your voice. We have some text to get to. 251-343-0106.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Oh, yeah, 834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. And let's talk McConnell Automotive. What you got customers coming in and asking about when they show up on the lot this week?
Well, first off, I want to say I marched safe from the Blue Angels yesterday. what a show, man. I mean, you you got to be a proud American to watch that stuff. It's just, that's an awesome deal. No incidents. It was great. This weekend, it looks like a great weekend, but like Dr. Bill said, it's going to be hot and humid. So, you know, you're looking at a car online on McConnellAutomotive.com. You want to come look at it, give us a call. We'll get the salesman to get that thing cooled off, right, ready to go for you.
Yeah, you guys really care about the customer, and it shows. That's why so many people keep coming back, whether they're shopping for new or pre-owned, or they need to get a little work done, and you guys take care of that too at the body shop. Really good service department too.
That's right. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend. Hopefully nobody has those unfortunate accidents. But like I said, we got a great body shop back there. McConnell Collision can take care of all your needs back there. They work on just about any car, make, model, year, doesn't really matter. They'll work on it. So just give them a call back there, 251-476-4141.
Yeah, and not to keep you too long, but something we haven't discussed in a while. If someone has a vehicle in their own driveway and they're wanting to offload it or maybe trade it in, they can do that through McConnell, too, just by calling you over the phone.
That's right. You call 251-476-4141. Ask for Eddie Hicks, Mike Hatcher. They'll get you in touch with the right people. They are the right people. Mm-hmm. So they'll give you a price right over the phone. Just give them a little description and the VIN and my house. That's it.
That's it. Well, thanks, Louie. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And
you too.
We'll see you. Louie Arata, McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
A lot of things we can get to. One of our three big things, I think this is worth maybe at least touching on it a little bit here. This hour before we roll into a big weekend. Alabama's plan for keeping toxic coal ash reservoirs near the Mobile River and in other sensitive ecosystems around the state could be approved. That's like a 180 from what the position was, what the federal position was a few years ago.
Well, yeah, of course, with the Biden administration.
Easy now. Easy. But that was 2024. But you made a really good point. This morning, it was like, this is not so much as the feds are signing off on what ADEM would like to do, but this is a broader idea, the Trump administration giving the power, the decision-making to the states mm-hmm. rather than overlording, all things. And this just happens to be one of those cases.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I don't like that the coal ash is where it sits, mm-hmm. right there next to Mobile River. And with the different, arsenic and what else to say, cadmium or whatever it is that comes out of that coal ash.
Do you have to have anything more than arsenic?
No, that's the big boy right there, right? So you don't want that in your drinking supply. But with federal control over so many things in our lives, those of us who prefer limited government like the general theme of this mm-hmm. Trump administration, which is to pass a lot of that responsibility back down to the states.
Yeah.
Because, how many times have we heard stories of the EPA with the feds, determining a creek running through, say somebody like Jeremy Clark, he has a creek running through his property, and they go, well, that's, for whatever reason, the feds get involved in how he's farming his land because of what's happening to his creek.
Right.
That's federal overreach. There's too much of that. But at the same time, if you're going to pass the responsibility back down to the state, then you need a state enforcement arm that is tough but fair.
And we're not sure ADEM is.
And we're not sure that they are.
Yeah.
Right? And so are they truly going to, take that responsibility of, hey, the feds aren't involved anymore. They're giving us much more leeway to make our own decisions. But that means they need to care about the people too. And it's tough to believe that with Alabama Power's sway over Montgomery, that this won't go anyway but the way that Alabama Power wants it to go, right?
Yeah,
ADEM
yeah.
has already basically laid out their plan and said this is what they want.
Right. So in a statement provided by the spokeswoman for ADEM, Lynn Battle, they say they're very pleased with the EPA's proposed approval. I can see why. Quote, the department has been working for many years on coal combustion residuals issues, and more recently on this submittal package, the statement reads, the department believes that with our professional staff and their understanding of the environmental features of the state, we are the agency best suited to handle environmental issues within Alabama, including coal combustion residuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically saying thank you to the feds for staying out of our business and allowing us to make this ruling, which definitely benefits Alabama Power in a big way in terms of finances, in a big way. And Nick Torrey is the... So it was the Southern Environmental Law Center. They're the ones that filed the lawsuit on behalf of Mobile Baykeeper. So it wasn't Baykeeper themselves. It was Southern Environmental Law Center. And their spokesman just says, you know, this it's a joke that they now say that the same program is now in compliance that was not in compliance 2 years ago. You can say, mm-hmm. well, there's different personnel, different people at the agencies and things like that at the federal agency. But he's thinking it smells all political. Mobile Baykeeper, Cade Kistler, very disappointed as well. The public can comment on the proposal until May 14th. An online public hearing is going to be held on September the 3rd at 9 a.m. So I don't know what kind of online turnout will be there for that, or if there's going to be any other hullabaloo about any of this publicly in between now and September 14th. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some campaign, if it hasn't already been announced, from Baykeeper to have your voices heard. But even just the overall deregulation of industry and some of these environmental standards affecting industry across the country, it's something that I believe needed to happen. And it comes with costs, right? Because industry, I mean, we've seen so many jobs lost. That was the entire theme of the Trump run back in 2015, 2016. And then mm-hmm. again, this last presidential run is, hey, we've lost so many jobs to overseas labor, so many businesses and industry to overseas labor. How do we get that back? But regulations were choking so many industries in the country.
And regulations by themselves were not the thing that drove all those businesses overseas.
You also had cheap labor, but yeah. Also, you know, overseas, China, they have no environmental regulations really to speak of at all. I'm sure paper they do.
They've enslaved people working at Nike, right? You know, what more do we need to know about China?
So that's who we're competing with. You're going to have to deregulate some. I mean, that was a big part of the conversation about finally getting the bridge to wherever the hell they say it is now in the timeline of that project, was loosening some of the regulations that were keeping this tied up even longer than we thought it would be. So I like the overall theme and move of the Trump administration. I just hope that there are people in Alabama in positions of power that are willing to put their neck on the line and sometimes tell industries like the Alabama Power Group there that, hey, you need to do some things and get back in line. We love having you as someone here in this state. You provide our energy, you provide jobs, but you can't just be, you know, throwing your coal ash wherever it may suit you. So,
yeah. So they say they're not doing that. They, again, you know, their statement, or I should say ADEM's statement, was we are the best people to make, not just to execute the plan, but also to formulate the plan. And we know what's best, but it is less than, you know, it's pretty ironic that the other way of doing things would cost Alabama Power so much money.
The Real Sam texting in and hitting on that a little bit too. He said, so do we get back all of the money that we've been paying each month for them to eventually move the coal ash? Because remember, I think it was back in 2019 that Alabama Power added that surcharge that was, I believe, for the eventual removal of the coal ash.
That's 2019. Wow.
I think it was back in 2019. So that's a great question there. From the Real Sam, another texter chiming in and saying, I bet Coach will take charge of this. We'll see. And hopefully he gets asked about that specifically before he officially becomes governor. I would love to hear his honest take on that. But also in another big news story, and I don't know, I haven't been watching the national shows this morning. even if I tried, it's behind my back, the TV right now. So Dan would be able to view it.
You're not missing anything.
So I don't know if they've been...
I've been watching them all morning.
I don't know if they've been leading off with this or not, but about Trump's speech last night and voter integrity, election integrity, where if you just read the response from... or watched some of the response last night on CNN and MSNBC, they basically have you believe that Trump came out there last night and the first sentence he said was the 2020 election was stolen, just as I've been saying, and here are the facts. When if you go through what he said last night, he never actually claimed that because of China's influence on the 2020 election that that swayed the actual results. What he was saying was 220 million Americans' voter registration has been scooped up by the Chinese, and we're not exactly sure how they're utilizing that voter registration information that could include things like your
name, address,
political party, your info, name, address. I don't know if Social Security
telephone numbers
works its way into there. I don't know if they can find your Social Security number, but as many noted, that kind of information, it's also been passed around just within our own country as well. You know, both parties taking as much voter registration information as they can get. But it's what are the Chinese using that for? And there have been many claims, especially since some of those documents were released overnight by the CIA. I think it's a pretty damning claim as well that for one reason or another, the information that the CIA was learning about what China was trying to do in that election wasn't making it to the desk of the sitting president, Donald Trump.
In fact, they were in those burn bags that were set to be destroyed. So this was never to come to light, I don't believe, the way I'm looking at it. And also, I don't know if Trump went into it last night, if he tied it all to the SAVE Act.
He did.
Okay.
That was kind of the main point that was being pushed by so many in his administration and other Republicans after the speech. And Trump made a note of it in the speech. Like, we have to pass the SAVE America Act. We have to get our election system in order to the point where other countries, they're always going to try to influence the elections. Mm-hmm. We can't make it easy on them to influence the elections.
No.
And Democrats want to make it easy as long as it's a good means to the end that they want, which is to be in power.
Right.
So they're all too willing to let the Chinese do what they need to do.
If it benefits them.
If it suits them. Another thing that he mentioned last night were that they know that it's factual that 270 or 280,000 non-citizens are on voter rolls. Many of those are in California, but you have to wonder how many of those non-citizens on voter rolls are in some of those states that were down to the wire in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Georgia and was it Nevada? There were three states, maybe Pennsylvania. There were three states where the difference in the votes between Biden and Trump, once the official result was officially in, there were like 40,000 votes that separated the two among three states.
Mm-hmm.
When there are 280,000 non-citizens on voter rolls, and I'll have to read more into the documents that were released last night.
I wonder how many of them actually cast a ballot, voted.
That's a good question, and we don't know. And Newsom's first response last night, Governor Gavin Newsom in California, was, well, we've proven there is no voter fraud. We've proven it, and this is just him bringing up old claims. But the Chinese are trying to utilize that. And I was reading last night that they're using some of that voter registration they have, and they're finding American names and making fake IDs and getting them to Chinese and American citizens. So I don't know. There's a lot to dig into this, but everyone putting their blinders up immediately and saying, well, he's just bringing up old claims. There's nothing to this. Just sit back and think to yourself, are you honestly okay with the ease, it seems, that other countries, mainly our main adversaries, China and Russia, that they can, you know, sway an election as much as they can. We need to have some more dams built around this democracy we've built, because right now the fort is being stormed, it seems. And as we get further and further into the use of technology, you know, those Dominion voting systems. Part of the speech last night centered around around Venezuela, right, and using Dominion to rig their own elections. But if you listen to many on the left in America now, who had a different tune back in 2016. But ever since Trump said Dominion was easily affected, that the voting systems were easily affected because of their use of internet or whatever it may be, the Democrats, they are just hard and fast. No, there is no possible way that on these computers that tabulate the votes, that those can be hacked into or otherwise adjusted. When in 2017, Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton were saying, hey, we don't know that Trump won this election in a forthright way.
Yep.
Look at these Dominion voting systems. I mean, the hypocrisy is just outstanding.
And the hypocrisy tied to the coverage, because the hypocrisy is as plain as the nose on your face if it is all fairly covered and people can see the facts for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way the MS Now's, CNN's, NBC, maybe to a less degree right now, CBS are playing it.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Thank you to Leanna getting a wonderful for our Facebook page today. The funeral procession of former police chief and Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran yesterday, heading toward the cemetery, and very moving. You can find it on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, great turnout for that yesterday,
yes,
as people showed their respect and
love.
And love. Yeah, you're right about that. 8:56 now, FM Talk 106.5. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Todd Stacy with Alabama Daily News joins in hour number one. Bradley J. from Breitbart News to talk some of the national political landscape in hour number two. And then the returning champion for the Jeff Poor Show, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins in hour number three. What are you getting into this weekend?
We'd nappies.
Love to know. We're heading to the nappies tonight. You have, we talked with Jeremy Clark earlier. He had made his way over here after witnessing the cannon blast to kick off the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
Jeremy Clark sleeps about as much as Trump.
I guess so, yeah.
He's up and at him.
He's always on the move. So Sunday evening at 5, the ADSFR wraps, and between now and then, there's going to be a lot of fun had on that island.
And even Monday when they added the fairgrounds, that's where they had the...
Yeah,
the,
you're right. Yeah, so Sunday isn't even the end of the party.
Yeah.
Monday, they're going to have that out at the grounds, the award ceremony, all that fun stuff. You also have the Dolphin Street Vault tomorrow.
I forgot about that, and we just talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
It slipped my mind.
Looks like it starts at 8 a.m. Do I have that right?
Dalton, I'll tell you, when you get down there, you'll say they should have started at 6. It gets so hot so quick. But it's different this year because it's certified, so you have a lot of very talented vaulters that are going to be part of this.
Yeah, we'll see how talented they are when they have those sweaty palms as they're running down Dolphin Street,
mm-hmm,
getting ready to jump. I don't know if there's a more dangerous thing to have than sweaty palms while you're pole vaulting.
On Dolphin Street.
On Dolphin Street. And you got the Blue Marlin going on at the wharf, too.
Yes, that's big.
So a lot of that. And let me get to some texts, if I can, before we get too far into the end of the show. Another texter, or unnamed texter, what do y'all think we can do to stop Alabama Power from getting their way with this coal ash issue? It doesn't seem that there is. I think they're going to go with cap in place and move things along. It's kind of what it's looking like.
Yeah.
Jason says, good morning, guys. The Trump speech last night is exactly what I voted for. We've never had a more transparent and direct president and never will. And he said, Dr. Frank has proven repeatedly how the machines are manipulated and how our local probate, Mr. Irwin, and many others refused to acknowledge it. Butterknife texted again and said Trump oversold and underdelivered with the speech. He didn't really say anything we didn't know. China's trying to influence the election. Said China can get the voter registration rolls from some company who bought it from a state. Trump also said so many hundreds of thousands of illegals are on the voter registration. Okay, he didn't say they voted. That would have been big. And said they should pass a bill immediately, voter registration list or not, to be given out to anybody.
Listen, we don't want to be commiserating about your sunburn on Monday, so take care of yourself wherever you go. Hydrate and have a great weekend, y'all.